And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
The Vancouver and Calgary blockbuster is off to a good start for both sides. Brought to you by good friends over at Skip. Welcome to another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 17, Mailbag Edition. Nick Alberga, Pete Jensen, and Anna Deal with you. What's going on, Pete?
What's up, Nick? Great to be with you. Great to see the early impact for those couple guys, right? Elias Lindholm, special delivery, two-goal game in his debut. Andre Kuzmenko following suit with a goal as well. Skip, of course, the official food delivery app of the NHL. And excited to get to it, man.
Anna, what's going on?
I was waiting for you to introduce me. You
got Welcome.
A great
Hello.
Weekend with me in Toronto. So I'm somewhat excited to be back. All-Star Weekend was really fun, though.
Yeah, you needed three extra days to recover from All-Star, so we appreciate your time on today's podcast. We also appreciate the time of today's guest from Daily Faceoff and the Puck Poolies podcast. It is Matt Larkin. What's going on, Larks?
Nick, my friend, it's great to see you, and it was great to see Pete and Anna coming down to Toronto on our turf, get a little FaceTime with the fantasy crew. Always great to see you all, and I'm feeling good. Mostly recovered from the All-Star shenanigans. The microdose of mushrooms has worn off.
Yeah, that was the best part. You asked that question that prompted the response from your boy, Michael Bublé, who you play in a fantasy league with, right?
That's correct. He's very competitive. He's at the center of most of the controversies, and he accuses me of being a Nepo baby because my dad, he's the commissioner, which is true.
Wait, is this true?
Yes.
Do you play fantasy hockey with Michael Bublé?
Yes, we have for years, and he's right in the thick of it. He's not just like a passenger. He's right in the middle of all the chirping, the controversies, the whining, the, you know, stirring the pot when someone makes a bad trade. He's right in the thick of all of it.
I have many questions after we're done recording today, Matt. Many questions.
Well, it must be a big Canucks pool because I know he's a big Canucks guy and they kind of dominated the first half storylines fantasy-wise, betting-wise, one of the biggest surprises in the league. Seven representatives at the All-Star Weekend, including the guy they traded for last Wednesday night, Elias Lindholm. We discussed this in depth already, but since he had that big bang coming out of the debut with the two goals, what are your thoughts on the impact of this move, fantasy and betting-wise? Like, what is the realistic ceiling for this win-now Canucks team?
Well, I'm just going to be cocky to start the show. It's not my normal MO, but I just want to say to any reader or listener of mine, told you. That's why I've been telling you all season long, trade for Elias Lindholm. Pick up Elias Lindholm. He will be traded. We have seen what he does when he plays with elite players. The last time he played with elite players, he had 40-plus goals, 80-plus points. I saw this coming. I knew this was going to happen. I was not surprised to see him score twice. And Rick Tocchet, when he was here at the All-Star Game, said he plans to use Lindholm in lots of different ways. So even the idea of him just being, quote-unquote, a number two center doesn't scare me away. He's a power play guy, special teams ace, kills penalties. He does everything. So I'm not surprised at all. I expect him to be a league winner down the stretch.
I like it. And as I mentioned off the top, I think so far it's benefited both sides, albeit through one contest. But Andre Kuzmenko, what a debut. I mean, he goes from the press box eating popcorn in Vancouver routinely to scoring and playing on the top line now with Sharangovich and Huberdeau in Calgary. Is there sneaky upside, in your opinion, to Kuzmenko in the Flames rest of the season?
I think there is. And to me, it's funny, just the world we live in. It's everything has to be a 10 out of 10 or a 0 out of 10. And last year it was, oh my God, his shooting percentage is so high. He's scoring on 27% of his shots. And I was one of those people saying, do not buy Andre Kuzmenko going into this year. There's a big regression coming. But I don't think anyone expected it to be this crazy regression to the point he's in the press box. I think the truth in terms of who he is, it's somewhere in between. Maybe he's not a 39-goal guy, but maybe he's a 25-goal guy. And I'm not that surprised to see a little spark lit for him playing with Sharangovich. And it's Sharangovich, and I think it's Jonathan Huberdeau, right, is the new line. They showed instant chemistry, right? So I expect we could see a little surge from him down the stretch. I don't think he's going to be a superstar, but he's not a nobody either, right? He showed some skill. You can't get 70-plus points in your first season in the NHL by total luck, right? So I do think this is a new beginning for him, and I think he's going to be fantasy relevant.
Speaking of regression, a candidate that a lot of folks did not expect, Alexander Ovechkin, has not performed up to his draft position. Would you sell Lindholm to? Would you sell Ovechkin to pick up Lindholm at this point? Or are you still holding on to Ovi? Because let's be honest, his shooting percentage is abysmally low, and that could turn around any second, right?
Yeah, that's a great question, Anna, because in my own top 300 midseason rankings, which I put out last week on Daily Faceoff, there's the plug, I listed Lindholm, this is before the trade, and Ovechkin as two players that I liked as buy lows in the second half. So the idea of trading one for the other, it's kind of crazy. I think I would still want Lindholm over Ovi for the rest of the season. That said, I still think even though the aging curve is caught up to Ovechkin, there's still something he can provide if you're in a banger league down the stretch. Because like you said, lowest shooting percentage of his career. He's also top three in the NHL. As of last week, he was in power play minutes per game. Only Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen had more power play minutes per game. So the opportunities are there. The puck luck has to normalize a little bit, even if he's slowed down. He's not going to finish as much. So yeah, okay, maybe the shooting percentage comes down, but it's not going to be 6% the rest of the season. So I actually do like Ovi as a mini buy low. I could see him getting, you know, 12, 15 goals from here until the end of the season.
It's interesting, too, with Lindholm. Like, I'm looking at the possibility if he's going to play some wing but take a lot of draws. We've seen that work out with different guys in the past, like two of the best face-off guys in the league, right, Matt? Claude Giroux, Joe Pavelski, those type of guys. They play the wing, and it kind of beefs up the line. They're playing with whether it's Stützle or Hintz, respectively, whoever they're playing with, the line's better as a result. But, like, I wonder if they're going to spread out the three strong lines come playoff time or even just tinker with the lines throughout the stretch and see what works best.
Yeah, I think they will. And Tocca did say, I don't want to upset the apple cart, right? That was one of his quotes last week. But I think part of the reason why they brought in Lindholm, and that was why he was their main target, is because they do like that versatility. And it reminds me a little bit of JT Miller, even Elias Pettersson. Those are both guys that have played the left wing sometimes. And I think the more ability you have to mix and match, the more it is a winning formula. Look at the Tampa Bay Lightning, right? Steven Stamkos, Braden Point, those are guys that have taken turns at different points in their careers. Sometimes they're centers, sometimes they're wingers. Even with Toronto, right? William Nylander has been a guy who can occasionally get a look at center, but he's also a right winger. So I think just it's a winning situation, and that's why I like Lindholm for fantasy, because it's not like he can only slot in one place. You can move him all around the lineup.
We're talking about movers. There's one that we haven't mentioned yet that I really want to talk about. That's Sean Monahan going over to the Winnipeg Jets. The Canadian Western Conference teams really look like they're pushing to take it all this year, Matt. So what do you think about that fit? I think these are the best line mates that Sean Monahan has played with maybe in his career, right?
Yeah, I think there is a temporary opportunity for a surge. I also have a real-life boring Sean Monahan story. One time I interviewed Sean Monahan. I was at my parents' house, and at the end of the interview, he was like, "Where are you?" And I said, "Oakville." And he was like, "Oh, so am I. I'm walking my dog." And it turned out he was outside, like he was one street over walking his dog, and I could have just gone outside. Wow. It just felt like a true boring Sean Monahan story. But in terms of fantasy, I'm not as excited as a lot of people are. I do think it's a great fit in real life. And I know there's been talk already of Monahan. He's going to be in the bumper position on the power play. And I think it's a good fit. But if you look at all of Sean Monahan's underlying numbers, he's not really the finisher he was before. I'm not really expecting him to have this huge surge and, you know, be better than a point per game player, even a point per game player down the stretch. I think he'll give you a lift in a deep league, but we know that injury history is quite checkered. So he's not someone that I'm overly enthused about. If I had him, I'd actually be hoping he gets a little surge in numbers in the short term and I'd want to trade him.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think he actually takes a bit of a bump or a dip, I should say, when it comes to fantasy value post-trade, because in Winnipeg, obviously, they have Mark Scheifele, and I think there's only one puck clearly to go around, but he's playing with Perfetti and Ehlers. Matty, you know I'm a big-time fan and proponent of trades. March 8th, the trade deadline. From a fantasy perspective, is there anybody out there who excites you in terms of who could potentially be available on the market? I've got Adam Henrique's name, Tarasenko, Hanifin, Jake Allen, Anthony Duclair, guys like that.
Yeah, I think the most impactful name I'd be looking at, well, Duclair is one of them, actually, because we've seen what he can do when he's in a good situation. Even if he ended up back on the Panthers, for example, right? He's instantly relevant again. Sure. But Pavel Buchnevich, the St. Louis Blues, would be the most impactful name I'm looking at. On Daily Faceoff, we have a new trade targets board out today from Frank Saravalli, and Buchnevich is one of the prominent names who appears on that list. He's been basically a point-per-game player his entire tenure with the Blues. I think he's one of the most underrated players in the league, in real life, in fantasy. And he's the type of talent, if you're trading for him, I think you're loading up and you're putting him on a line with other elite players. He's been good with Robert Thomas and Jordan Kyrou, but depending on who gets him, he could be playing with better players than that. So I really like the potential there. And the floor is still good. Even if he ends up not being traded, he can still help you now. So I think that's a fun target. I'd also keep an eye on Marc-Andre Fleury. We know he has the no movement clause. He doesn't have to go anywhere. But if he gets traded, it will be to a situation where he gets to be a starter. So New Jersey Devils, for example, let's say you buy low, you get Marc-Andre Fleury for 60 cents on the dollar now. In a couple weeks, he's the Devils starting goaltender. Huge change in fantasy value. So that's someone I would try to stash or maybe buy low on.
I would love to see Marc-Andre Fleury at the Rock, guys. That would make my season. But I feel like the goalie position, we say this every week, has been a little bit of a disaster in fantasy this year. And Matt, we had a question brought in by our good friends over at Skip about Igor Shesterkin. I feel like when I'm in Toronto, everyone's talking about Samsonov. Then I come back to New York, everyone's talking about Shesterkin now. Same media narrative. Is it time to move on from him, or do you have faith that he bounces back?
I have faith, and I even consider him one of my favorite buy lows for the second half. I don't know what Peter Laviolette was doing earlier this week when he had to say, Shesty's our guy. Like, come on. Do you think that Jonathan Quick is really going to be the starter? Why would you even put that seed out there? You're creating a goal controversy. Peter, you're an experienced coach. Why are you doing this? But I digress. Shesterkin, we know he's getting some extra work in with Benoit Allaire right now, and it's just a bet on talent. It's been a really weird year for him, but I still think he's the most athletic, fastest goaltender in the NHL. And there's been so much more good than bad in his career in terms of the sample size. So if you're going to sort of bet on someone to bounce back, I think you can do a lot worse than Igor Shesterkin. So he's someone, I think I wrote this recently, I said in my own rankings, I said, if you don't want him, I'll take him. Trade him to me.
That's exactly the way I think. I've been throwing out offers left and right for a guy like Shesterkin, and I couldn't agree more. I just think the Rangers are big branding this operation. Like, I know Jonathan Quick's been an excellent story, but there's no need to start this guy in three consecutive games because of maybe a rough outing from Shesterkin a couple weeks ago. And now they've created some controversy out of nothing. You have your number one goaltender doubting life, and I think it could spiral out of control, quite frankly, in terms of that market. And obviously, Jonathan Quick's been a great story, but I think it's great buy low time on Shesterkin. And I just, you know, was curious to get your thoughts on Jonathan Quick, man. Like, I thought this guy was dead to rights. I thought he was finished. Signs with his home state team here, and all of a sudden, he's like one of the best comeback stories of this fantasy season.
He is, and he's a confounding player to me. I've been out on Jonathan Quick so many times over the years because he actually reminded me, at his peak, he was quite a similar goaltender to Shesterkin. He was about rhythm and athleticism, right? It wasn't like he was an Ed Belfour type or a Connor Hellebuyck who's arriving every one time. It was an athlete. That's the way he played the position. And to me, that's why he was not built to age well. And I wasn't surprised when he rapidly declined. And I never thought he was even going to come back in terms of just being relevant again, right? So we saw that mini surge last year with Vegas, and he's getting one now, but I'm still skeptical. I feel like, let's say you believe in Quick and you add him in fantasy, you trade for him, I think he's just going to go in the toilet again. Just the type of game he has and his age, I don't think it's sustainable, and I think there's another big slump coming. It did happen in Vegas last year, right? After that trade, it was, oh my God, Jonathan Quick, he's back. And then a week later, it was like, never mind, and then he wasn't even sniffing that roster in the playoffs.
I feel like this season, so many goalies were also given the opportunity to prove themselves. So just a little early outlook to next year, maybe even in dynasty leagues, Matt. I want to ask you about how much in fantasy does the value of a guy like Jeremy Swayman increase? Because Linus Ullmark was the big name last year for the Bruins. Swayman, great goalie, everyone knew so. But right now, he's right behind Connor Hellebuyck in terms of save percentage among all NHL netminders. And you wonder, how high is he going in drafts next year? Are people scooping this guy up left, right and center in dynasty leagues?
I think they should be, especially because the goaltender position is just so fickle. So when you do find the few that are consistently great, you want to cling on to them. So Hellebuyck is probably the standard for that right now. But Swayman has been nothing but awesome every single season of his career so far. And what's interesting to me, I don't know if this is a good thing or bad thing, so maybe it's a good question for all of you, but we know that Swayman had a really tough time in arbitration. If you remember those comments he made, like, he was just pretty open about how bad it went. I just want to be a fly on the wall. Like, what is said in these hearings? Because players come out really wounded. And that made me kind of wonder about his future with the Bruins. Is he someone who still wants to be there long term? And are we sure that if Boston eventually moves out a goalie, it's going to be Ullmark? What if it's Swayman instead because of that potentially fractured relationship. But either way, it could be a good thing for Swayman. Whether Ullmark's gone, he gets a bigger share of the pie, or he's somewhere else, gets to play more. So either way, I'm in on Swayman, and I believe he's going to be a pretty dominant fantasy goaltender for years to come in Dynasty.
You want an idea of what happens behind the scenes at arbitration cases? Go to social media and click in your name. Search your name and find out what people say about you, and that's probably your answer. This one is delivered by our good friends over at Skip. And we'll intertwine it into the conversation about the coaching change in Los Angeles. Everybody had a great All-Star weekend, but one man, and that was Todd McClellan. Jim Hiller taking over. But what is Cam Talbot's rest of season value is the question, or one of the questions we received, again, delivered by our good friends over at Skip.
Oh, I lost you for a second there, Nick. Are you there? Nick, can you repeat the question?
Yeah,
I just lost you for a sec there.
Yep. What is Cam Talbot's value rest of season?
Oh, that's a really good question, because Talbot is someone, again, he also surprised me. We know the Kings, they kind of went a little cheap on their goaltending, brought in the kind of bargain basement option in Cam Talbot, 36 years old, injury prone. I think they played him too much in the first half, so I'm not too surprised to see his game kind of decline a little bit. But that said, I still think this Kings team is good. And if the Kings can figure out an option to complement Talbot, whether it's going to be David Rittich, who's been pretty good lately, or if they make a trade for someone else, whether it's, let's say, I don't know, a Jake Allen, someone like that, I still think Talbot, I don't think he's a bad goalie. I just think he's getting old and he's injury prone. So if you manage his workload better, I actually think he's going to recover and be decent in the second half. And it's just interesting to see, will the Kings be a different team? I don't know if they will, because you're bringing in Jim Hiller, who's already, he's already on the staff. So it's kind of like when the Islanders went to Lane Lambert. You don't really change your identity. So I'm expecting them to play a fairly similar game.
If you see the Kings' struggles continue, Matt, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I would lean towards the opposite, actually. But if they do continue to struggle, who is the team that you think is going to make the playoffs? Could it even be Calgary? Calgary's playing good hockey. They just beat the Bruins on the road, right? Believe it or not.
Isn't it weird in the West? I forget who said it, but it was sort of who wants this playoff spot? Everyone seems to be taking a dive, whether Seattle's regressed and St. Louis all of a sudden has a moment. You have Nashville that's been kind of in the mix. I honestly still think it is going to be LA. I just think they're the one team that has a clear goal of pushing forward and getting better. They're the most likely team to actually pursue other upgrades. And they're still, even after that big tumble, that horrible January, they're still right there. So I don't know if it's a cop-out answer to say that LA is still my pick. But if you look at the competition, St. Louis, I still think is going to sell off pieces. Arizona's regressing a little bit. Nashville, I don't think has the horses either. So all those teams that are in that bubble mix, Minnesota's still being so banged up as well. I still think it's LA that's going to emerge from that group.
Yeah, I agree. I like to stay even keel. Obviously, it's a long 82-game scope, and I think LA is good enough to make the playoffs. And in fact, if they get in, I think they could do some damage when it comes to the playoffs. And I think just one last thing on Cam Talbot, I'm going to stick my neck out and say I want to buy on this guy. I think there's extreme value. I mean, 2 months ago, we were talking about this guy winning the Vezina Trophy. Now, you get a new head coach in the mix. You look at the new coach bump, if you will, around the league. It's benefited every team. So I think it's going to benefit LA as well, Anna.
I think it is too. I got to give a quick shout out to my main man, Jim Hiller. I love the Hillers, love this family, and he's been waiting for his opportunity to be a head coach for a long time. So his daughter's one of my best friends, and I know they're super stoked. So getting an NHL Fantasy on Ice shout out over there. But the LA Kings, man, I mean, this is a team that has all the pieces they really need, and their players, if they step up to the mark, they're going to make the playoffs, and they've always been competitive in the postseason, and that's just what you really need. And Matt, when I'm looking at the Western Conference standings right now, pretty obvious, like you said, that LA is probably going to squeak in. Then I move over to the East, and I don't know what's going to happen in the East. So if you had to give me right now which two teams in the wild card race are making it in the Eastern Conference, who do you have?
Yeah, it's really wide open, and again, it's like when I say wild card race, I kind of, even the teams that are in third place, I still lump them into the same discussion because they're constantly tumbling and flip-flopping, right? So, for example, Philadelphia Flyers, that's a team that's been surprisingly competitive, but I still look at the talent there and I'm starting to see it turn. Obviously, you have no Carter Hart now, but I don't think they're going to be the one that gets in. I think that a team like Detroit is so committed this year. I'm not overall optimistic on their long-term plan. I think that Yzerman made his move too early. He didn't have the critical mass of elite talent, especially at forward. And then he started bringing in a lot of mid type of players. So I don't like the plan. I think they're going to peak too low. but I think they're going to be good enough to get into the playoffs this year. So I think they're finally there. And I think Tampa Bay, because I guess Toronto and Tampa Bay keep flip-flopping. I haven't looked at the standings this morning, but I think Tampa's now back in the wild card spot. I still think based on the talent, even without Mikhail Sergachev, who appears to be very seriously hurt, it's a really tough situation. I still think just they're battle-tested. They know what they're doing compared to the other teams that, you know, Buffalo is only 6 points out. They could break through, but they haven't shown the killer instinct to do it yet. I'm not a believer in the Pittsburgh Penguins right now. I just think they've been stuck in this middle land forever, and I don't think it's good for them to keep staying in denial. So I think it's Detroit and Tampa. If we accept that Toronto's up in the number three spot, I think Detroit and Tampa are my two wild cards.
Do you look at Tampa as like a source of streaming options anymore in fantasy? All their best players are rostered from the beginning of the season till the end. Even a guy like Hagel is long gone in fantasy. People have had him on their rosters all season long. And when you look at that Sergachev injury, he's their sixth best player or fifth, whatever you want to say. But like after that, it really takes a nosedive. So I'm not sold on Tampa Bay. They've done an admirable job like masking all these wounds and these different injuries, the Vasi injury earlier in the year. But I'm not, unfortunately for them, they've been a perennial contender here. I'm not sold on that team, especially after this latest injury blow, guys.
Yeah, I think you're right, Pete. I think the jig may finally be up. And it's sort of just the life cycle of a team in the cap era, right? You're dominant first. You hit your peak, all your high draft picks when they're on their entry-level deals or second deals, you can afford them. You have your powerhouse years, your Stanley Cups. Then you have to start jettisoning bodies when you extend your stars to their bigger contracts. And you try to keep it going by replacing your mid guys with depth from within. And the Lightning have been amazing at doing that. They find your Ross Coltons, your Yanni Gourdes. They do it over and over. But even now, it seems like they're finally running. The well is finally running dry. Even a guy like Ross Coltons, like, no, I'm going to get paid too. He's gone. So it does feel like we're nearing the end for this group. Once your stars are getting into their 30s, then they can't carry the team in the same way. Even though, obviously, Nikita Kucherov has been great, but you have a lot of pressure on every single piece to be perfect. So this year, Vasilevsky has not been, right? So I agree. I still think they make the playoffs, but I think they're going to continue trending toward being an easier out in that first round.
It's going to be a dogfight, and again, they're going to have to rely heavily on Andrei Vasilevsky down the stretch. It was a great story in the first 25 games or so with Johansson, but I think it's crystal clear. They got one guy in there. It's Vasilevsky, and I think he's going to play a ton down the stretch. Matt, I really, really appreciate your time. What's coming up next on Puck Poolies?
Puck Poolies, we're going to be doing a trade deadline preview, and we're going to be doing two. So the next one is a fantasy trade deadline preview, because I know a lot of leagues are getting close to that time. So we're going to focus on trade advice next week.
Thanks very much once again to Matt Larkin, a Daily Faceoff. And again, check out the Puck Poolies podcast. Who delivered the most for you in fantasy hockey this week? It's time for the delivery of the week, brought to you by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Who do you have, Pete?
I have Carter Verhaeghe. I mean, time and time again, this guy is like the top scorer or second best scorer for the Florida Panthers, right? 40 goal season last season, 42. He's got 25 and 50 games, and he's rolling of late. I mean, the guy touches on almost every category and may be the single most underrated player in the entire NHL. So wanted to give him a shout out.
There's no one else I could have gone with other than the man of the hour, Elias Lindholm, because in his first game with the Vancouver Canucks, 2 goals on 2 shots against one of his former teams in the Carolina Hurricanes. This is a perfect fit for this guy, so he's my delivery of the week.
Mine is Nick Suzuki, the captain of the Montreal Canadiens, a 5-game point streak, 3 goals, 5 assists, 8 points, 4 power play points. He's been fantastic as of late. Those are your deliveries of the week, brought to you by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. And producer Bob, I need some deliveries here, man. The Super Bowl's coming up. What do you got for me, buddy?
I don't know if you could hear this, but this is what delivered for me this week. You guys know I missed Toronto. I was in bad shape, a lot of issues. I got to tip my cap to my man, Dr. Kip Bodie, who prescribed me a little Xanax for the whole body to relax, get my muscles in a good state of mind here. And honestly, I'm feeling better. I'll be back in the New York City office next week, hopefully. Hopefully. So thank you, Dr. Kip Bodie. As far as the Super Bowl goes, I have a pretty clear pick. It's pretty clear. I don't want to bore the hockey fans with an entire handicap. I just think the 49ers, top to bottom, are a better football team. And I know the whole Pat Mahomes, don't bet against him. Everyone's taken. This is a very public dog situation. Kansas City, public dog. Everyone's jumping on him. I'm going to go with the 49ers. I think that the Ravens lost the game more than the Chiefs won the game. And I think the Niners, Brock Purdy, take care of the ball, please. Just manage the game, and the 49ers will prevail. So that's the pick, folks.
What do you guys got?
I'm done picking against the Chiefs. There are too many of those games that they have lost this year.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
I love to hear it. I love to hear that. That's every, oh, we're gonna take the, I'm taking Pat Mahomes and the boys.
I
Niners,
hate the Super
bottom,
Bowl.
Better roster.
I hate the Super Bowl. I'm boycotting the Super Bowl. But if I had to choose, it's the Niners. I will not let the Kansas City Chiefs win yet another Super Bowl. It's unfair. But next year, guys, it's the Buffalo Bills.
And Nick doesn't watch football. But for tonight, listen, a couple hockey picks. Let's not forget about the hockey picks. And Anna's going to give a couple props, too, right off the top of her head, because that's what she's best at, improvising. I'm taking the Islanders tonight against Tampa Bay. I think the Islanders are getting their mojo back, playing a little tighter defensively. I think Sorokin and Wah are collaborating before every game. Sorokin's confidence is being boosted. It's almost like Jim Harbaugh with the quarterbacks. Wah is like the goalie whisperer with Sorokin. I like the Islanders as the favorite tonight.
I think you're going to learn a lot about the Eastern Conference wildcard race tonight at UBS in that game. I mean, right? Patrick Wah said it himself. Are you the eagle or are you the duck? We'll find out tonight about the New York Islanders, especially after the Sergachev injury, Nick.
I like the Jets Flyers under. I like a Tyler Toffoli anytime goal. Of course, Calgary and New Jersey getting together tonight, Bobby.
And this is for Michael Leboff. I'm going to tail him with Calgary tonight at New Jersey. And I actually like Winnipeg. I know they're a big price here on the road against Philly, and Philly already has that win under their belt the other night. But I just think Winnipeg top to bottom, of course they're the better team. But I'll lay the price with the Jets, and hopefully they get the win in Philadelphia. Anna, time for you to give some props, brought to you by Skip. What do you got?
Thanks for giving me the heads up on this, guys. But you know what? I have one that I feel really good about, okay? And that's Carter Verhaeghe, anytime goal against the Washington Capitals. This guy's a menace to Washington in his career. When they played against each other in the playoffs, he ruined their lives. So Carter Verhaeghe, great matchup for him. Looking up and down the board, I think you gotta also take a look at maybe Carolina against Colorado. They're coming off a loss to the New Jersey Devils. Carolina also coming off a loss. They were on a win streak heading into the All-Star break. A guy like Sebastian Aho, Seth Jarvis, one of those two for a point prop or two guys I'm looking at as well.
Tell you, Pyotr Kachekov comes back and all of a sudden 847 or whatever save percentage again. It's like, here we go again. Just make a save.
Give him one day.
Yeah, they're playing Colorado, okay? I got Colorado in this game. The Avs are going to be a little
That's
unhappy.
That's what everyone said about New Jersey. That's what everyone said
Yeah, but the
New
Avs
Jersey.
Are like a perennial contender. New Jersey's a joke. They're a fraud. I mean, it's different.
And last thing before we wrap, just want to let the audience know that Anna was late to the show because she had a bidet installed in her apartment. We're at the point now where the younger generation, they need bidets in their apartments. Hey. She was getting a bidet installed in her apartment, and there was a mishap, and there was some flooding that was going on, Anna, so you were late to the program today. I just want to let everyone know that you are now a proud owner of a bidet.
Thank you for sharing that.
Mullets are back, and bidets are now back. Coming up next week, Week 18, a waiver wire edition. Looking forward to that. Thanks to producer Bob. Many thanks to Matt Larkin for hopping on as well, and for Pete Jensen. And Anna Dua, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.